When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
During the summertime when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Overspending on Amazon? Earn while you shop with Drop. Earn rewards on every purchase, online or in-store. Download Drop now and use code DROP11 to get $5 in points. Get rewarded for shopping today.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's a show that you don't have to pay crazy interest for, you know? All we ask is that you pay a bit of the most valuable currency of this time, attention. Why are we talking about payments in installments? It's because today's topic at first glance may sound a little strange for a show that applies critical thought to conspiracies, but as we've established, all sorts of shenanigans can occur in the strangest, most ostensibly innocuous places. Noel, Matt, have either of you ever been in a rent-to-own store, like a rent-a-center or an Aaron's?
No, but I always remark about, like, what is this? Who is it for? And why is it so big?
I've been in an Aaron's. There was one right down by my old house. And I went in there early on when I moved to the Atlanta area. And it was to really look at prices of things. And I didn't know anything back then. So I didn't realize that the prices that were represented in there were actually very different than the prices at other large retailers.
Did you think Aaron's was just like a big box store, or did you understand?
I didn't know what it was. But I looked through and everything seemed way too expensive for me.
Yeah, it's a common observation. Many people throughout the United States, weirdly enough, not so much in the United Kingdom. That statement will make sense later. Today, the show presents the case of an industry that just may have weaponized the American dream. Don't believe that's hyperbolic language either, which should frighten people. Stuff they don't want you to know is talking about the rent-to-own industry. Note, important housekeeping note, not the rent-to-own home industry, where people rent a house from a landlord, company, or individual with the idea of one day owning it. That's a separate future episode. This episode is about a quite common and quite controversial practice of renting
appliances, putting things on a take-it-home kind of layaway. Appliances, furniture, video game consoles, you name it. The show will get into it today. Here are the facts. For these purposes, what does stuff they don't want you to know mean when it says rent to own?
Or even in this day and age, the idea of, you know, owning your phone, or like what is that, you know, payment that's built into your bill that allows you to get the newest, hottest, most up-to-date phone, you know, right when you want it, even if you don't want to pay the full price. And another thing we're going to talk about is how ultimately irrelevant at the end of the day the actual price becomes.
Yes, for our purposes today, on this episode, rent-to-own means entering into a contractual agreement with a third party, that's you, right? You enter an agreement with that party to take home something, as we mentioned before, let's say a couch, and then to pay either on a weekly or monthly basis for that couch. It will generally be a much smaller payment than how much the couch costs, but you're going to be making that payment for an extended period of time.
Yeah. So think of things like buying a vehicle, buying a house, large appliances, you know, a refrigerator isn't cheap, or furniture, a nice sofa set. This also can include things like student loans, epic vacations. In the United States, this unfortunately includes life-saving or life-breaking medical procedures and so on. The thing is, the harsh reality is that not everyone can immediately buy these goods and services with cash up front. That's why people take out loans or pay for things in installment plans, lay away at old school brick and mortar stores, or most commonly for people, paying off a phone as part of one's monthly bill. When this all works out, it's a win-win for stakeholders. People are able to acquire their stuff, manufacturers sell their stuff, banks make money all the time off the interest. That's accepted as normal. The concept of rent to own takes it a step further into all sorts of products. And honestly, fellow conspiracy realists, for many people, this is the only viable way to make necessary purchases. Let's not make the mistake of vilifying the poor, as convenient as it may be for all sorts of bad faith actors. These are not luxurious things. This is not avocado toast, etc., one would argue. This is stuff that people need to survive. But it's not free. The rent-to-own outfits are taking on risk, so they always tack on a higher interest rate per month. Big question, how did this become a thing? Because got to guarantee you, not to inject personal opinion in here, most things that seem sketchy are older than they seem as well.
Yeah. So historians usually trace the concept of the rent-to-own industry back to the early 20th century in the United Kingdom to two people, Percy Perrings Toms and another gentleman, an Austrian businessman named Jules Thorne. And the first rent-to-own establishment, brick-and-mortar kind of storefront, Radio Rentals. That's interesting
shout out,
because,
shout out Payne, Lindsay.
Well, also that term in the UK, I believe, ultimately became like, that's crazy. That's radio rental. And I think that's probably a reference to like who would be crazy enough to do one of these things. I'm just speculating here, but we're going to get to that. That came in 1930 because of Percy Perrings Toms, who was from Brighton. He was a radio dealer who thought that, you know, with the advent of radio and it being the hot thing and keeping up with the Joneses mentality and all, he thought that people were going to be really, really, you know, desperate to get a radio, you know, so they wouldn't feel left out of the conversation. I mean, there was so much culture happening on the radio. And if you didn't have one, then you weren't, you kind of almost felt like a second class citizen. So he took advantage of that, let's say, insecurity from some folks that maybe couldn't afford it, and set up a situation where you could rent radios to consumers rather than having them purchase them with cash on the barrel head, as it were.
It is very interesting when you look at today's Rent-A-Centerville or whatever you want to call this thing, the industry of renting goods, because that's translated from radios to televisions. Televisions are one of the most rented things from these rental centers, I guess we call them. I only know that because there's a place called Rent-A-Center.
Literally,
that is also, Rent-A-Center. That does this.
Mm-hmm. which is interesting too, considering how much cheaper televisions have gotten. You know, it used to be back in the day to get the nicest like plasma screen or whatever, you'd be spending a grand or more, you know, minimum. But nowadays you can get a perfectly fine LCD, you know, HD TV for just a couple hundred bucks. So it does also imply that people are preying on folks' lack of awareness of what else is available in the market.
Yeah, to sew that up real quick, there's another guy in the story, Jules Thorne. You might not have heard of Jules Thorne if you were not from the United Kingdom. In 1928, this Austrian businessman moved to England, made something called the Electrical Lamp Service Company, imports light bulbs and radio components. In 1932, he starts playing the monopolization game. He operates his own radio rental shop, Lotus Radio, in 33. Later, he acquires Paring Toms's old business. This business model made sense. Everybody wanted a radio. They wanted to keep up with the Joneses and to keep up with the news, to have their fingers on the pulse of the zeitgeist. But of course, not everyone can pony up to become an early adopter. Not everyone has the cash to buy one of these newfangled gadgets or gizmos all at once. Same with televisions. When televisions became mainstream, the rental companies made a killing off that as well. There's a 1962 article from Time magazine, which you can find online, that shows 80% of British television sets in the early 1960s were rented. Less than 1% of U.S. televisions were. And the ones in the U.S. that were rented were mostly rented by hotels. You can find vintage advertisements from London in particular that show the appeal of this. They included free service warranties, essentially, which are not always included in the U.S. rent-to-own debacle that's happening today. But maybe it's time to talk about how it spread across the Atlantic. How did it get from the UK to the US?
I want to just add, you have a really excellent clipping in the outline today from one of those ads. And it says 2 years free service, tubes and valves, etc. Because, you know, this kind of analog technology ran on these expendable parts that would not last forever, like a tube or a valve, something. It's like a light bulb, essentially. It will like burn out. And, you know, consumers were not educated in how to repair their own stuff unless they were tinkerers, let's just say. So, you know, someone might think, oh, my TV's completely dead, and they just wouldn't know that I just need to order this thing. And you literally just pop it in. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. But they're capitalizing on that sort of ignorance as well.
It's really good that you point that out, Noel, because that remains, and I'm sure we'll get into it a little further, but that remains as one of the biggest selling points for one of these rental service companies, is that they will service whatever it is that you, whatever it is you're renting from them. They will service it free of charge. Anything you need, we'll take care of it. No problem.
For a dishwasher or something, that matters. That's almost the equivalent of having like a landlord that if your stuff goes out, they're going to fix it. You're not going to be responsible for like figuring that out. So that could, to some people, also be appealing.
Unless they're one of the large scale financial institutions that are buying up all the rental property in the United States. But yeah, it's true.
So the idea hit the United States around the 50s and 60s when a couple of, you know, American entrepreneurs pioneered that concept, or at least, you know, Americanized it, let's just say. Charles Loudermilk, and we used to have a colleague with the last name Loudermilk. I've always loved that name. There's a blues guitarist, I think, also like with the name Loudermilk. I think it's very, very Nashville, old school country, Western kind of vibes. And this guy, Charles Loudermilk Sr., was actually from right here in Atlanta. And I think I'm right here. He founded a company called Aaron Rents, which must have rebranded to become Aaron's Rentals, or that place, or just Aaron's, I think.
Yeah, it's known as Aaron's.
Well, that makes sense why you wouldn't have realized it was one of these rent places or rent a centers. You just thought it was like a big box, maybe affordable kind of, you know, storefront.
Yeah, I think I'm just not very smart, guys.
That's not come now.
Unfortunately.
Come now. No.
Sorry.
I think if they got you, they definitely probably get others, because I would argue you're quite savvy and very smart. And, you know, without the word rental or rent a center type deal in the name, you could easily confuse it for just a showroom of like fancy home goods, you know?
Hey, speaking of that, there is a place called Rent a Center, though, and it's been around for a while.
Yeah, we see that around here as well. And even the logo is very old school looking.
Yeah, Aaron's, as it's known today, the Aaron's company started out as Aaron Rents in 1955. They had a bunch of surplus chairs from the U.S. Army. They rented them out for 10 cents a day. Rent-A-Center is founded by J. Ernest Talley, who T-A-L-L-E-Y, who is nowadays largely acknowledged as the father of the modern rent-to-own industry in the United States, similar to how Edward Bernays is often called the father of public relations. This guy comes out of Kansas. He has this retail appliance store. And in the 1950s, there was this issue about bank credit. You have to remember, folks, this is before the dawn of the credit card economy. And that plays a huge role in what went wrong here. Bank credit prevented a lot of people from walking in and buying an appliance of some sort, right? So he said, why don't I rent it out? And if people can't meet their monthly payment, I can always, this is him talking, I can always repossess the merchandise when we reach the end of this take-home layaway, which is just a term made up for this show. It's not something that you'll find in the industry. They would own the merchandise. Tolly would have some cool stuff happening on the other side. It would have had a guaranteed income monthly, right? Month over month. And he would have also been able to look at a spreadsheet and say that he increased sales, or his company did. Observers are watching this. And just like when ketchup hits the mainstream in the 1800s, a lot of other people get into the game. And that's what leads you here to this episode. According to the Association of Progressive Rental Organizations, the size of the rent-to-own industry as of 2014-15, those are the most comprehensive numbers. Now, it tops $8.5 billion in the United States alone. You can see pre-pandemic, you can see almost 10,000 different retailers selling this stuff throughout Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. Rent-A-Center alone is a big player. That's probably 2,400 stores. This could be seen as a win-win, again, when everything's above the board. But today's question, what happens when things aren't above the board? And how come so many people think this is a hotbed of corruption and indeed conspiracy? Pausing for a moment for a word from the sponsors and diving in.
Is getting gas at Chevron burning a hole in your wallet? What if I told you you can easily earn cash back while you fill up? Introducing Drop, the app that turns every fill up into a reward. With Drop, you'll earn points to get free gift cards every time you fill up your tank. Download Drop and use code DROP77 to instantly receive $5 in points to jumpstart your savings journey. Don't miss out on turning your gas expenses into something rewarding.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Here's where it gets crazy. Turns out this industry, as undeniably profitable as it is, has a ton of critics for several incredibly valid and disturbing reasons.
One of the biggest reasons we've already kind of been hinting at, it's that you're going to pay a lot more money in the end if you're renting one of these goods, rather than if you just went out and purchased it. You're going to be paying a much larger price in the end. And people see that as predatory, for sure. Like, you're essentially, as the owner of one of these stores, or as the person that's running one of these stores, you are getting, you're giving a loan basically out in the form of a good. And then you're just making interest, like lots and lots of interest and stuff on the top of somebody who probably can't afford it.
Well, and I imagine all of that stuff happens in-house. Like, it's not like this is being financed through a bank. You're essentially on the hook like you would be to a loan shark or something. I mean, not to be too hyperbolic, but it is a company that is not a bank, probably has affiliations with banks and things like that. But you haven't, like, signed up for a loan exactly, right? Like, it's sort of is that, but it also kind of isn't. Essentially, I guess it's just kind of a bad loan. I don't know.
Who writes the laws would be the question. Yeah, the most telling aspect of the way these stores do business in the modern day is the pricing. If you have ever traveled, this is way more common outside of the US and Canada. If you've ever traveled to certain countries, you'll walk into a store and there's not a price. And so you want to buy something and you ask what the price is, and they'll say, for you, X amount of whatever currency there is. And the understanding here is that the customer must negotiate. But again, that doesn't happen in the US near as often. In most of these establishments, the prices are not clearly marked. There are, however, very well-trained associates ready to help you find out prices and terms of the lease.
I would just say some of that has changed a little bit now that a lot of these places have moved online. I don't know how much of their business is done online versus inside the store, but I know they have a thing sometimes that I've seen on their websites, on Rent-A-Center in particular, where you're not exactly sure how much it costs until you put in some of your location information, you put in a couple extra things, then you can get at least an estimated price of how much it'll cost. But you're right, Ben, it is different in that it's not so clear, I don't think. And often it's made to look like there's a sale or something, or it's going to be less now than it would be usually if you do it right now.
That's the illusion of big box kind of stores. Like, I used to work at a music shop when I was younger, and we would, you know, it was kind of an old school family owned operation, and we had to price everything with little, you know, tags with like a piece of string on it. You'd put around the tuning key of the guitar, and it would have a price on it, and then slashed through that price, we'd write this by pen, and then it would have your price. And then they would give you a better price than even that because they had just liked the cut of your jib or whatever it might have been. But the slash through price is what's called list price, which is the price that nobody pays. It's sort of this like weird standardizing thing, I guess. And then the price that's under there would be what would be retail, right? And then even that's too high. So it gives them room to haggle and give the illusion of a good deal. And I had to do that. Like, I was trained. It made me feel so icky. I hated it. But that's their whole business model, kind of. And once the internet came along, they hated the internet, let me tell you, because that gave everyone kind of level the playing field.
Right, right. Siloing information is always one of the go-tos of manipulative entities and bad faith actors. This stuff regarding the conversation about how online sales may have changed things also is due in large part to something in the U.S. called the Better Business Bureau. Noel, to your earlier example, an analog in the world of automotives would be Blue Book Price, Kelly's Blue Book Price. It is the common go-to of how much a vehicle may or may not be worth, and nobody pays it. The next thing in your comparison there would be MSRP, Manufacturer's Suggested Retail Price, which again, people don't often pay. The big insidious psychological aspect at play there is something called anchoring, right? You want somebody to pay $30 for something that's worth $14. You have a $50 price tag just slashed out arbitrarily. There's no law against it. And all of a sudden, 30 starts to look like a good deal, especially when you, as a bad faith actor, have restricted access to information showing this stuff is worth $14. Those are deceptive sales practices. Better Business Bureau is mad about it. Failure to disclose interest rates, that's another thing they're mad about. Legally speaking, if you find yourself in a position where you feel you need to go to one of these companies, and they are all operating legally, they're not breaking the law, they are required to tell you if you ask. It's another thing this show in the past has called the guacamole rule. It's available upon request.
It costs $3 more on your Chipotle burrito bowl.
Per month.
Got to tell you that. We're required by law as a Chipotle employee to tell you that guacamole is extra.
These interest rates can be what is often called usurious, which means predatory. In this sense, interest rates can be up to 100% or even higher, and they're often in effect when you do this rent-to-own option because it's technically not a loan. So it doesn't trip the flags that various states have about usurious or predatory loans. Instead, it's a lease. The product can be returned at any time during that lease term. You as the consumer will not get your money back. You overpaid for a television. You've paid twice what the TV is worth. You just want to bring it back and get out of this terrible con. Then you absolutely are free to do so as long as it's in working order. There will probably be some fees involved because, you know, the company is working to maximize the amount of your money it can take. So why do people consider it predatory? It's a good question.
And also by that point, they've probably restocked that TV. I bet stores like this only keep a certain amount of inventory where it's not like a big box store where they have like a whole warehouse full of the things. They probably just have a couple. And then they're banking on that one being out of the store for a long-term situation. And then they just restock that one item. Every time it goes, they probably just restock it again.
Well, you know, there's an interesting idea there, Noel, because it's worth asking the question. Many, many big box stores, regardless of what they're selling, use something called a just-in-time supply chain. And that really, the hammer hit the nail during the pandemic when supply chains were collapsing. And all of a sudden, a lot of U.S. residents who had never had this experience before would go to a place, they'd see that the prices hadn't just risen. Consumers simply could not buy the stuff. It wasn't there on the shelves. It went way beyond toilet paper and hand sanitizer.
It's like the Nintendo Switch.
Or the PlayStation 5, perhaps. Stay tuned. Maybe there's an episode about semiconductors in Taiwan in the future. In the meantime, here are some numbers from a great piece written by Matt Breed in 2021 for an outfit called Money Crashers. And it hits on something very important. Fellow conspiracy realists, fellow listeners, hope you clock this. So 2021, not all that long ago, Matt Breed went in and checked out these places. The same way someone might accidentally walk into a store because you don't know it's trying to rip you off. Breed found that a 40-inch LCD TV was priced two ways. You could buy it right now. Take it home that day for the low, low price of $1,199.99, not counting tax. Or you could rent to own it. And if you were on time, that price at a 60% interest rate would work out to $1,919.76. Here's the kicker, and thanks for this, Matt Breed. The lowest price for the same product, if you had the wherewithal to check into it, $499.
But even then, this is based on maybe someone doesn't have $499. Maybe they know about the cheaper product. And they know it's good or just as good, but they don't have $500 and they don't have good enough credit to get a decent term credit card to buy that TV for $500
or to even just get financing with the store, right? Wherever you would buy it.
Yeah. This episode gets to this too. And these are quite disturbing things to your earlier question regarding supply chain, Noel. It's interesting that if you're selling a $500 television for $2,000, then you can already pay, you know, more than three times over, more than treble what you know, you can buy three more TVs at minimum. That's just lazy cocktail math subtracting for overhead. You see it again with refrigerators. Actually, one of the best deals Matt Breed found was an Xbox. But it may be helpful for our fellow listeners to walk through just a couple more examples of how egregious this is.
Can I give you one I found at Aaron's? Just I wanted to find, like, right now how much something would cost, like do this exact thing that Matt Breed did, but with Aaron's, just because I wanted to see.
Just a year later, by the way.
Yeah, 1 year later. So you guys, how much do you think it would cost to go out and buy a Nintendo Switch right now? Like right now.
$300, right?
Almost exactly $300 for just the base set, right? If you go over to Aaron's, you can get it right now. They'll deliver it to you for free. They will service it for you as long as you've got it. And all you have to do is make 12 easy payments of $79.99. But the big kicker there, and the reason why people do it, I think, is because Aaron's offers a one-time fee of $5 to get it shipped to you and get the process started. I think that might be the kicker, guys, because it's like, here's $5, I'll get it right now, and then I have to make my payment at some point, you know, this month or by the beginning of next month.
12 payments?
12 payments of $80.
That's almost $1,000 for a Nintendo Switch.
It is $959.88 in total if you went the whole 12 months, which it's just crazy to me. It's three times the price of the actual product.
Yeah. And the video game consoles are less profitable overall than things like a refrigerator. For instance, a 23 cubic foot refrigerator, that's one penny under $1,500 to buy it now, 60% interest. That's a little less than $2,400 for the same thing. Lowest price, if you go almost anywhere else, $700. Money hand over fist.
Dude, but like that was what you just said, Matt, though, was like way worse than this. It was like $600 on top of the basic price of the Switch. And the question then becomes like, what's the monthly payment? And do they assess that based on how bad your credit score is? And can they jerk you around even with that to make it a little better for them, a little sweeter?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the specifics of, like, I haven't actually gone in and tried to enter into an agreement. And honestly, I don't think I would.
No,
even
of course.
Even if it was just fact finding, just because I'm scared, it scares me. I would want an attorney present, I think.
It's mafia type practices. It really is. It's like a, what do they call that? Bust out? Like when the mafia like takes over someone, like in The Sopranos, they take over this guy's sporting goods business and they just bleed him dry by like taking his inventory and selling it in Times Square and then taking out loans in his name. And they don't do it all in one go. They just do it over time until he's just got nothing left.
Ben, I want to get to the point you made earlier, which was about, you know, it's some of these things are necessary to live, right? And if you think about a refrigerator, people need to have cold food. And especially if you're on a budget and you need to save money, you need to have a place to keep your food cold to serve it to your family or even to yourself, right? Well, similarly, washers and dryers are a very common good that are rented from these places. And I found a similar thing at Rent-A-Center, you guys. It was to own it over the course of 120 payments, one payment per week, it would cost $4,200 to get this pretty standard washer and dryer.
Per week, though, that's interesting. Like, yeah, versus it was per month week in any other, you know, professional loan arrangement. That sounds like a rent by the hour hotel or something. Like, it's very, I mean, I'm just saying. Like,
it's odd because it's $35 a week, $34.99 a week to have this washer and dryer in your house. And you can have it for 120 weeks. After that, you own it. And if you work that math out, it is $5,278.80. And if you go to the Whirlpool website, the manufacturer of that object, we talk about the MSRP, for both of those things, it cost $2,200.
So again, you could see the common pattern here, fellow listeners. To not miss the point we're attempting to establish there with the video game consoles, an Xbox 360 Halo bundle for the discriminating customer is sold by these kind of places for $630. Rent to own is little under $840. That's 33% interest, which is actually a better deal than these appliances. Lowest price, fellow game enthusiasts will know, at that time was about $400.
You know, that's really interesting that it's an Xbox 360 for that price, for $399, and to get it for that much, and it would cost that much, because that's 2021's last year, and I'm pretty sure the X series, or the Xbox X series came out, and before that, the Xbox One came out. So I wonder, like, I wonder why places even offering an Xbox 360 as a standard rental, or maybe they just have so much inventory of those, they can get away with renting a bunch of them out, and they're making just a ton of money back, I guess.
Yeah, an Xbox 360 right now on Amazon is $115, and it's refurbished.
It's just weird.
You might not be surprised to learn that there are lawsuits that become part of this. Tons of consumer advocate organizations have combated the deceptive, misleading, and again, not to overuse the word, just to accurately describe it, predatory practices used by the RTO, rent-to-own industry. A lot of these campaigns are seeking better state legislation. They're talking about this obfuscation of rates, these hidden fees, these other deceptive methods, including unannounced attempts at repossession for missing a payment, or places where the given franchise or business purposely ignored a payment that was made on time. They all say the same thing. And they all say the same thing because they're right. The industry is targeting the poor. It's a perfect plan if you're not worried about ethics. If you just like to make money off of other people, then you'll notice that the people who can't afford to buy a sofa are also the people who probably cannot afford to finance a lawsuit. Judges agree. There are a lot of successful lawsuits against RTO businesses in all sorts of states. In a few states, good news, they've led to changes in laws, such as Minnesota, New Jersey, and Wisconsin.
I mean, heck, middle-class people can't afford to finance a lawsuit because you don't know how long it's going to drag on for. You know, it's like I just had a thing where my property manager from the last house that I rented, one of those kind of, you know, big conglomerate type ones, they decided in their infinite wisdom not to return my security deposit for me, even though I had done everything I was supposed to do. And it was $500 because I got a move-in special. Am I going to sue them over $500? No. And they're banking on that. And I bet they do this 9 times out of 10, not give people their security deposit back, knowing that the amount in question isn't going to be worth anybody's time to actually take them to court.
So these are consumer groups fighting the good fight. These are businesses that for their side will simply say they're satisfying a need in a market and will quickly point out that they are not, in fact, breaking laws. That is true, but whenever you hear about something that seems off or unethical and is also at the same time legal, It's honestly time, and this is just a personal opinion, it's honestly time to ask about the authorship of those laws. Taking a break for a word from the sponsors, we'll return to ask whether or not these businesses are setting customers up to fail.
Ever wolfed down a Big Mac and thought, I could use some extra cash? Meet Drop, the ultimate rewards app. Earn free gift cards for getting your daily coffee or late night drive through effortlessly. Just link a card, shop, and watch rewards stack. With Drop, it's like getting paid to indulge. Download Drop now and start earning. Use the code DROP22 for $5 in points instantly.
The following is a high five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sort. High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com. High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Snag a job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The answer is yes. It seems that these businesses are indeed, to some degree, building the idea of defaulting on contracts into the business model. This doesn't happen. You know, in the days of radio rental in the United Kingdom, things weren't as dark. Things weren't as predatory. So it's time to ask why they took such a dark turn in the United States. Was it a matter of something getting lost in translation? There's an interesting theory in the research.
Yeah. I mean, again, this was sort of before the advent of credit cards and even credit reporting bureaus sort of sprung up more locally, where things were done kind of on a case-by-case basis, and there wasn't like a national database for it. And then I think around 1912, there became sort of an association of credit reporting bureaus and a standard for like collecting this kind of information. But at this point, it wasn't quite as like codified. It didn't really, the FICO credit score really didn't start until the 70s. So like this, they were filling a need for a thing that would ultimately fill that need later, but at that point didn't exist.
And when credit cards start to become a mainstream thing in the United States, especially around the 1980s, anyone with a card in this new economy could purchase a dining room set or a television or whatever that cardholder desired without having cash on hand. Though, yes, astute listeners, they would go on to regret it in many cases. There's a guy named Ernie Smith who has this blog that is well worth the read. Smith puts it this way, quote, in the 1980s is when rent-owned places started to blossom. And so Smith asks how they handled this dichotomy. The answer is Machiavellian level simple. They started targeting certain demographics, people without credit, people with bad credit. Those folks need refrigerators. Those folks need places to sit just as well. And so places like Rent-A-Center charge a premium for taking on financial risk. Understandable. Your banks do that too. Your lending institutions. You know, it's how the game is played to the point where some people ask, why not play a different game? And this is, to your point, Noel, quite similar to the dangerous payday loan model. It's fair to ask whether people are being set up to fail. Would like to draw everyone's attention to some excellent work by a journalist named Jim Dwyer, writing for the New York Times. Dwyer made this great article looking at Rent-A-Center in particular. This was out in 2008, title For Just a Few Dollars More, Big TV and Years of Debt. Dwyer finds some pretty alarming examples. One case was a 40-inch Bravia television, $47.51 a week, 117 weeks. Then the customer would own the set outright. Just for some quick math there, that's paying $5,558 for that television. That would be an interest rate of 71%, and that would be illegal if it were a loan.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Coming out of your monthly paycheck, that's $200.
And just to sew up what Dwyer was saying, emphasis here is ours, not his. In all other particulars, it is much like a subprime mortgage for pull-out sofas and television sets. It's an accurate comparison.
Well, and there are laws in place surrounding actual loans and what interest rates are allowed to be. But this is like loopholing its way out of that whole, you know, calculation.
Yeah. So in the end, I guess, guys, ultimately, these places just take the goods back from you if you can't pay, right? Is there something else going on?
What a fantastic setup. Yeah, thank you. What happens when people can't pay? It gets nasty, way more nasty than one might reasonably assume. I'd like to introduce the National Consumer Law Center. A boring name, but they're doing good work. In 2019, they came out with a report that's freely available online, more than worth the read, especially if you find yourself in some sort of good mood. It's called The Rent-to-Own Racket, Using Criminal Courts to Coerce Payments from Vulnerable Families. They found that every state in the United States, except for three, has a law that can be used to criminalize the failure to return rental property.
Which makes sense in terms of like renting a U-Haul, let's say, right? And then I don't return the U-Haul. I have stolen that truck. But I'm not renting that U-Haul with any sense that it's my property, even temporarily. Like I know the deal and it's going to be for a couple of days and then it goes back. But if I just went nuts and went on the lam in a U-Haul, I would fully expect to be put in jail for stealing a truck.
Right. It's a question of criminal intent. And this is the fulcrum upon which this stuff hinges. Vulnerable families in tight budgets already can't buy this stuff outright, would already not be able to take out a personal loan from a bank in many cases, and are much more vulnerable to compounding misfortunes, loss of income, rent increase, which a lot of people in the audience have encountered today, accidents or illness, one of the leading causes of bankruptcy in the United States, divorce, right? Or a family member needs your help. This all adds up. And of course, there's very little assistance in this regard. So what if you have already this episode has established that customers are often paying thousands more than the actual product is worth. So they're in cases where they have a TV that could be purchased somewhere for like $500. They've already paid $1,200, but they haven't paid off their contract. And so they can't make good on that contract. Now their television is getting taken back. They're not getting any money. They may be taken to criminal court. We're not talking about a few people. There are about 4.8 million U.S. households that are annual rent-to-own customers.
Can I just add back to what you were saying about the vulnerability of these families and the potential for an accident, an economic misfortune? A lot of these folks are like families, literally, like grandmothers and grandparents living in house in small situations, perhaps, where it's everything's quite hand to mouth, and a lot of that is going into taking care of an elderly parent. So if that, and I wouldn't be surprised if it did, entered into that calculation, those odds of those bad things happening go up. Just the probability. If you have an older person in the home, chances are they could fall ill, and then all of a sudden, oh no, I've got to use the money I was paying Rent-A-Center for my TV to now make sure grandma doesn't die.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Bubba. We need to make good on the LCD. So just pray harder, as brutal as that sounds. And most people, being decent human beings, are going to choose human lives over making a monthly payment on an overpriced TV. Nearly 4 in 5 rent-to-own customers earn less than $40,000 annually. There is intergenerational discrimination at play. 3 in 5 of the families or customers are would be self-identified racial or ethnic minorities.
Ben, I wonder how much of this predatory activity could be targeted at people who maybe don't speak English as a first language, right? So like if maybe I'm thinking about the Buford Highway area where I'm from, like maybe you could target at Spanish families that don't understand the contract that they're getting into because it's written in a language, perhaps, that they don't speak. I'm not saying that would be the same, you know, I'm not saying it's that way every time or maybe is that way at all, but perhaps that would be a way to take further advantage of people, use that language barrier.
I don't think there's any question that that's going on.
I feel like you could even use not necessarily an education barrier, but just someone who's not accustomed to reading a long contract that's, you know, the kind of labyrinthine, hiding stuff in there.
Even the types of loans that are relatively, quote unquote, above board, you know, for folks who are relatively savvy and have good credit scores, even those are tricksy in these same kinds of ways. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you know, I've told this story before where I got a, you know, in-house loan to buy a car and they gave me the interest rate. And I was like, I looked up my credit report and I shouldn't be paying this high of an interest rate. They're like, oh, well, if you had told us you wanted to pay a lower interest rate, we would have I'm like, what? What are you talking about? You're like doing, like, you're gaslighting me right now.
Guacamole upon request. No. So
100%.
The one last quote to pull here without getting too far in the weeds. Quote, the industry, through industry-friendly legislation, has largely succeeded in maneuvering its contracts out of the range of most federal and state consumer protection laws. For the group to unpack that one, this report argues, with validation, we looked it up and confirmed it, that the rent-to-own industry is often writing the laws that are meant to regulate it. The watchmen are watching the watchmen, you know, or the foxes are watching the hen house, although that may be a dated reference, apologies. It conspires to target low-income folks, while at the same time conspiring through outfits like ALEC, American Legislative Exchange, to write laws that remove commonplace, reasonable protection, compounding with the high pressure tactics they're used to cow people into agreeing unknowingly, often with horrific loan terms. When they can't pay, they get dragged to criminal court. This has ruined innocent lives.
Can you clarify to me, like, it isn't a loan, which is why it's allowed to exist. It's that loophole we've been talking about. They're not dragging them to criminal court because they've kept the property. They're dragging them because they've defaulted on the terms of the agreement?
Right. So it would technically be often considered like a lease that's a sweetheart deal for the industry. The laws in many states have made no real distinction between a criminal intent. To your U-Haul example, Noel, someone says they are purposely renting a U-Haul to steal it for a bank heist, right? And then abandon it. That's criminal intent. Or an honest hardship, falling behind on a payment. Or worse yet, the nastiest part, a bad faith move on the RTO company, the rent-to-own company, saying, let's be purposely incompetent. Let's not acknowledge that a payment has been made. It gets into debt collector tactics, you know, harassing people, showing up at their house,
loan shark stuff,
thing in front of your kids, loan shark stuff. Life in the U.S. Honestly just seems harder and harder for many people each year. And due to these, honest to God, legislative conspiracies, the problem seems set to continue. There's a good argument to be made, primarily speculative, that this is part of a larger paradigm shift away from an ownership society to a service society.
100%. It's moving, like all things are moving in that direction.
Streaming, you know, subscription-based things. There's like, you know, companies where you can rent clothes to try them out or whatever at a higher, you know, and there's all kinds of versions of it that seem like they're utilitarian in some way. But ultimately, it's just removing actual ownership of stuff from anybody, even the higher, you know, income people.
Pretty soon, it'll be American Homes for Rent and Aaron's present the American furnished 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom American dream, or, you know, whatever it is. So it's just like the rental companies that we're talking about in these previous episodes, along with the other episode we're going to make out of this, rent to own houses. It feels like the future. These massive corporations that don't want you to own anything whatsoever.
Yeah. And the notes for this episode, there are examples like DLC for cars, non-game nerds. DLC is shorthand for downloadable content. There was a recent hilariously surrealistic thing with BMW, which started selling subscriptions for heated seats for $18 a month. The thing is, the people targeted for these subscriptions, their demographic, they were BMW owners who had already purchased the BMW, which already had the capability to heat the seats. You were paying to turn on a function that already existed. Another example would be one of the first books pulled from Kindle subscriptions or purchases. No kidding, true story, George Orwell's 1984.
Or like, you know, you might get a car that's Sirius XM radio capable, but, and they might give you a deal where you get it free for a couple months, but then you have to pay for that subscription. And that's, you know, part of it. We mentioned a little bit at the top of the show how phones work now, even with people with like really good credit scores, and like it's all so obscured. Like, what is the phone actually worth? How much am I paying for it in the long term? And like, I had a thing where I was paying that fee still, even though I'd already paid off the phone, but I was supposed to know that I had, and then go back to AT&T and say, do a thing. There was some step that I missed. Otherwise, they just were taking my money. And then I'm like, well, where does that go? And they said, it goes into the abyss. They didn't say that, but that's essentially what it amounted to. There was no
and or our bank account.
Well, yeah, but there was no like, oh, we'll put it toward the net. Nope, that might, you were supposed to do a thing and you didn't do it. Bizarre. If I could add one last little thing, we've talked about the concept of Sesame credit and how you know are given this credit score that allows you to do certain things or not do certain things. I would argue that credit in America is not that much different, because in order to do certain things, you have to have money. And you have to be able to get approved for things. So even though we're burying it in like approvals and credit score and all that, it's not that much different than saying, oh, your Sesame credit score is too low, you can't get this flight. Well, if your actual credit score is low here, you can't get the flight either because you don't have the money.
Mentioned on the Sesame credit episode years back. Yeah, it's a glass house situation. And with that, hope you enjoyed today's episode, though enjoy is a tricky word here. Unfortunately, there are many people listening today, fellow listeners, who have personally experienced this. Would love to hear your stories. Would love to hear what you think. Is this a case of caveat emptor, buyer beware? Is this a case of businesses using existing power to further suppress the future of people who are not as wealthy. Would love to hear your thoughts. Try to be easy to find online.
It's true. You can find us all over the internet. We're on Facebook, where we have a group called Here's Where It Gets Crazy, Twitter and YouTube at the handle Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Hey, we have a phone number. Do you want to call us? The number is 1-833-STDWYTK. It is a voicemail system. You will hear Ben's voice, then a beep. Then please give yourself a cool nickname, and you've got 3 minutes, say whatever you'd like. Please do let us know if we can use your voice and message on the air at some point in that message. If you don't want to use your phone to call, why not instead send us an email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Is getting gas at Shell burning a hole in your wallet? Get the Drop app. With Drop, you can earn free gift cards just by filling up your tank. Download Drop now. Use code DROP88 to instantly receive $5 in points.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Attention, true crime enthusiast. Searching for a way to unwind after diving deep into the mysteries that keep you up at night? Look no further.
Introducing Lazarus Naturals, your trusted companion for CBD relief. With a commitment to transparency, Lazarus Naturals oversees every step from farm to doorstep, ensuring purity and quality you can trust.
Visit LazarusNaturals.com today and discover how CBD can help you decompress and recharge for your next investigation.
That's LazarusNaturals.com.
Lazarus Naturals, your partner in unraveling the mysteries of true crime.
Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.